This episode is brought to you by ADDEQ, A-D-E-Q, Promote, Discover, Engage, ADDEQ, a digital marketplace to connect with those with a vested interest in sports. What up? Welcome to another episode of 94 Feet with Coach JT. Do me a favor, please leave a like, subscribe, and leave some comments for me. Let me know what you think as I continue to really grow and I can feel the momentum for this podcast starting to grow and making some moves. So I'm going to jump right to this intro, man. Y'all just, again, as I say, bear with me. This my guest today has a nice resume for you. So, and he's close to home, so I got to give it up for him. Man, from down the street in Oakland, California, high school graduate of Oakland Tech. Man, let me read the stat line for you. At Oakland Tech, he averaged about 18 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists per game his senior year. Also, was two-time captain, earned team MVP honors as a senior, helped Oakland Tech to win 4 league championships. Also, two of his teammates, Leon Poe, yep, from Cal, went to Cal, and also Armando Surratt, hopefully I'm saying that right. After leaving the Bay Area, my man goes all the way back across the country, however, to the University of North Carolina, where he was a part of that 2004-2005 national championship team. This gentleman played alongside some hitters: Raymond Felton, Jackie Manuel, Sean May, David Noel, Melvin Scott, Juwan Williams, and Marvin Williams. And, of course, with the great Coach Roy Williams over there. Also, you know, just he's a downstreet kid from Oakland, California, Oakland Tech. Mad props, but let me tell y'all this. He's also an author, I say a teacher, a rapper, man, a lyricist. He has books out, you guys. My guest, none other than Quentin Thomas. Q, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, man, I appreciate you taking time out your day, brother. As you know, in the basketball world, 94 Feet, as my show says, we're going to jump right into it. Let's get into Oakland, baby. Like, tell me about just where you came up in Oakland and how was that for you growing up at an early age, man?
Man, I grew up in East Oakland, right off of 90th and MacArthur. But I always tell people I'm East Oakland kid to the heart, but I'm just an Oakland kid. You know, I grew up in West Oakland before me and my parents moved to East Oakland. Like, I was like 6 or 7. We used to live on Apgar, so like that borderline from West Oakland and North Oakland. I went to high school at Tech, that's in North Oakland. Played in all the rec centers around Oakland, from TASA to EOYDC. So, you know, I mean, you know how it is when you play sports, especially at a young age, you maneuver around your city a little differently than just a regular kid, because you're being a part of different tournaments and games, and you building relationships you don't even know you building. But yeah, I'm an East Oakland kid to the heart, man. And I'm prideful at home. I love home.
That's what's up, man. So I see during that time growing up in Oakland, right? I'm saying, because we're very close in age here, brother. So just some struggles or some things you had to see or didn't want to see but had to see in Oakland. Paint that picture a little bit for me, man. Because, I mean, again, you know, Oakland still has this different, but, you know, during that time frame when we grew up, it still was like, man.
Yeah, definitely. I always tell people, like, the easiest way I can say it or try to explain it is Oakland was whatever you wanted Oakland to be. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people only knew Oakland from what they saw on television, which usually wasn't positive things, you know, whether it was in the news, movies, whatever, but it was just a stigma of Oakland. But sometimes that stigma could be true, you know, on certain parts. But for me, I had a great childhood, man. I'm not gonna lie, like, I was blessed to have both parents in my life, you know, so I have my mom and my dad in my household. Me and my sister are 11 years apart, so for the most part, I was the only child in the house until 11. But growing up in Oakland, you see everything. You're a part of everything, because even if it's not in your house, you're going to be friends with somebody, or you're going to be connected with somebody that's dealing with something that you might not be going through in your household, or maybe you are going through the same thing. But I always tell people, Oakland is a beautiful place, and it has a unique mystique feel about it. You know, I've had people that I went to school with, teammates, they come to the town, and when they get there, they're like, it just feels different. You know, I can't explain the feeling, but I think that just goes a lot to the culture, the people in Oakland, And, you know, like I said before, like home, I love home, man. Like I wouldn't trade it for anything. It made me into the person I am today.
Yes, sir. That's what's up. So I know we're talking about the basketball career. However, growing up, how many sports did you have? Did you dip and dab in, or has it always been hoop for you from day one?
I only played hoop seriously. Like I was a youngster and I wanted to play football because I thought I probably could have been really good at football. But mom's wasn't having it. She was like, "Nah, you too frail at the time. You too frail. I don't want you getting hurt." If she would have known I was gonna wind up having four surgeries anyway at the end of it, she might have let me play. But I played hoop my whole life, man. Like a friend of the family, a friend of my dad, my parents said when I was one or when I was just born, somebody put a basketball, a little softball in my crib. And from that, it went to the basketball on the Nerf basketball on the refrigerator to in my grandmother's living room. And it just went from that, man, and just played ball my whole life.
That's what's up. So growing up in a town, idols or mimicking or just in general basketball. I mean, we had TV time. We could look at some. Who was the game going after? Who was you outside making moves? Was it who was on your list?
Everybody. I used to watch. My dad used to tape like dunk contests and all of that stuff and older stuff. So even though I didn't like, I was old enough to watch Mike, but I didn't get to see like Larry Bird and Magic and Isaiah Thomas, the first Isaiah Thomas, to really understand them. So Pops would have old tapes, and I would just watch those. And I would try to dunk like Dominique, man, in the kitchen, and go on the court and try to dribble like Isaiah Thomas, try to do reverses like Mike. But I just love basketball, bro. Like, I never had, like, one favorite player. Of course, I loved Jason Kidd, GP, just being from the town, of course. J.R. Ryder, you know, and a lot of others that didn't make it to the league, you know, that were close in range to me or close in age to me mm-hmm. enough where I could see them and be like, I want to be like that when I get older, or I want to be like that when I play ball. So it was a lot of positive inspiration, man, but I took it from everywhere, from home to outside of home.
Yeah, that's dope. Pop showing your video. I get already seen like a basketball, plus playing point guard, basketball savant. You got to know your history, know what's going on. So that definitely helped the development. So middle school, what middle school were you at for out there?
I went to Montero Middle School. So Montero was in the Oakland Hills, in the Montclair area. And most of the people that went to Montero wound up going to Skyline. So Montero was like the feeder school for Skyline.
Okay.
I didn't want to go to Skyline, though. I didn't want to go to Skyline. I didn't know what high school I wanted to go to. You know, my mom, I live right down the street from Castlemont. My mom was like, "You're not going to Castlemont." So I'm like, "All right, bet." But my mom really was trying to get me into like St. Joe's back then, St. Mary's. And, you know, no disrespect to private schools, but at that time, I just wanted to play in the OAL, man. Like, I wanted to play in the OAL. It was some kids that I knew that went to those type of schools. Not everybody, but it was certain kids that just felt because they went to that school, they were like, you know,
yeah,
the shit, for a lesser word. Yeah. But I'm like, like, I want to go to an open school. I want to play in the OAL. I grew up watching the OAL, and it was just something about it, the environment. My mom was like, "Well, where you want to go?" I had friends that I played with in elementary, because I played at Bushrod Recreation Center a lot in the north. So I'm like, "I'll go to Tech." So my mom like, "Why you want to go to Tech?" So my dad started doing research. And since I was out of the district, I had to go through an academy in order to get in that school. Mm-hmm. So I went through the education academy, and it was crazy, man, because I didn't have any intention on if I was gonna play JV or varsity, if I would start, none of that. But I knew a few of the players on that team that I grew up playing with. And next thing I know, man, I went to Tech, and we wound up creating something special while I was there.
That's what's up. So, and again, like I said, name those few your teammates that just, while at Tech, or, you know, nowadays, again, you just got the lab yourself, right, working. How much time was you putting in on your game? Just if you can think, just clocking hours a day. I mean, again, we didn't have no, we weren't watching the clock. We was watching probably the sundown, you know, sun up, sundown. How long you think you would spend on your game during that time, especially middle school, going to high school, as far as just playing or working out on your, perfecting your craft?
All the time, man. You know, like, I mean, I was still a regular kid. You know, we had back then we had our Sega Genesis, we had our PlayStation 2. But you know, on a weekend we were trying to find gyms, find courts. We would leave one gym or one court playing pickup and go to another one, leave that one, go to another one.
Yeah.
So it was just about playing. You know, you just fell in love with playing. And to be honest, I never had any, probably as a little kid, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, I'm like, I want to go to the NBA. But once I really started playing basketball, I just loved hooping. And I just wanted to see how good I could be for myself, you know. So I was just a passion of hoop from a young age.
That's what's up. It showed in production for sure. So while at Tech, man, again, you guys had great, you had a great career and your teams did, right? The titles, everything. Rivalry games, man. What are the biggest two rivalry games you guys have out there?
Tech versus Mac.
Okay.
Tech versus Mac. That's like the Ghetto Bowl, of course. You got West Oakland versus North Oakland.
Yeah.
You had players back then. If you know who James Akinjo, you know who James Akinjo
yeah,
is?
Yeah.
Imagine his, so I played against his dad.
Okay.
But everybody knew his dad. His dad is a senior, but everybody knew him as CG. Mm-hmm. So if you go back home and you talk about CG that went to Mac, that's James Akinjo's dad.
Okay.
A dog. Like that's where he gets it from.
Yeah.
But him, Antonio Kellogg, Ike Count, different people that played at Mac, man. And then you had Oakland High, Allende. Ubaka was there. Allende is one of the best players I've ever played against in my life. So, you know, it was a lot of good competition, honestly, like especially the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. But I would always say that one game was us and Mac or Fremont. But I say Fremont, Mac, and Oakland High were probably our most competition while I was in school those 4 years.
That's what's up. So, biggest highlight for you during that 4 years? I know outside of winning the four titles, whatever. Just for you personally, I mean, because the W's racked up. So now, if you can find something that you put at the top or top 2 on your list, either points of game or some type of success, what anything?
That's tough, bro. And I'm gonna be honest. Tech was so, we were so hood of a school back then, like we didn't really have nobody taking stats. So like, I remember like the stats you just gave me,
uh-huh.
My senior year, I remember telling people, cause that's what I thought. I'm like, well, maybe I averaged this. We didn't have anybody that would take the stuff down and send it to the newspaper and all of that. But I think one, maybe out of two, I had a dunk against Mac, and Coach Williams was at that game at Tech. And long story short, they were pressing us after a free throw, but they didn't really know they were in a press. So I'm dribbling the ball up court. I see Leon coming up the left side of the court. I want to throw alley-oop. Shout out to my partner who was on Mac team, Phil. Phil was backing up and trying to play the alley-oop. Mm. And at the last second, I'm like, oh, he keep backing up. So, all right, I take off. When I take off, Phil jumps. When he jumps, I cock it back. Bang on him, 2 hands, and one. And I jump from the dot, it was over. Like, and
I know the gym went crazy, bro.
Crazy. Like, crazy. And mind you, Leon had got dunked on earlier that game by Ike. And Mac's side went crazy. Like, if we were at Mac, it mm-hmm. probably would have been over then. But the second half, when that happened, you could just... We still have it on tape. You could just see the whole crowd just go crazy, losing. So it was either that dunk or when we played Mac in the championship at the Henry J in downtown Oakland, I threw an underhand alley-oop to Leon from half court.
Hmm.
Caught it. And it was in overtime because we went to overtime. He caught it for overtime or in the regulation. He caught it, dunked it, and won, and took his jersey off. It was...
Hey.
It was just, yeah, like I remember back then, like playing in the OAL, and you do a certain move, people would literally run on the court. Like refs would have to push them off the court. So that's what I love growing up on, man.
Yeah, so that's what's up. Them is lifetime moments, bro. You never forget those. That's crazy. So you finish up at Tech, man. Good career, good stats. I mean, you said Roy was at the game, so I mean, was it you had offers coming out from a lot of places or what? How'd you narrow it down, man?
I did. I was fortunate enough to have, you know, a lot of schools interested in me. At the time, the Pac-10, now the Pac-12. Cal, UCLA, Oregon, a lot of the Pac-12 schools. But it boiled down to Arizona State, Kansas, and North Carolina really being my last three. And honestly, I always tell people Carolina wasn't even on my list. And they weren't on my list because certain schools I just used to look like they were up here at a certain level, you know? And I'm like, I know I can hoop, but I'm like, I just know that's different. And they look at players different, you know? But Coach Williams, long story short, we were in Florida my 10th grade year. And Leon Pope, shout out to him. I tell people, Leon is the reason I got to North Carolina because so many schools used to come see Leon.
Facts.
And I never have a problem telling people that, you know?
I appreciate it. Gave his props.
I never have a problem. Leon used to have 7 and 8 D1 colleges in our practice. Kentucky, Duke, Carolina. I'm talking about like some dogs. So anyway, Coach Williams was at Kansas when he saw me in Florida. And he told my coach after the game, he's like, man, that little point guard you have is going to be one heck of a player one day. My coach came up to me and was like, man, Coach Williams was looking at you. And I'm so oblivious to everything. Like, I'm like, who? He's like, Coach Williams, a coach for Kansas. I'm like, oh, okay. Not really thinking about it. So Kansas keeps recruiting me. They play Melo. They play Syracuse. Melo wins. Coach Williams winds up leaving Kansas to go back to Carolina. And I'm like, oh, he's leaving? I'm like, oh, yeah, he not recruiting me. He kept recruiting me. And Coach Self was at Illinois recruiting me. And Coach Self took Coach Williams' spot at Kansas.
Right.
And he continued to recruit me. So that's how Kansas and Carolina stayed in there. I went on my visit to Arizona State. I wasn't really feeling Arizona State at the time. And it was hella hot. I couldn't do that. Not every day. I went to Kansas. I love Kansas. I love the players. Matter of fact, shout out to Aaron Miles, who's an assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors right now.
Yeah.
Aaron was my host. And to this day, we're still close.
That's what's
you
saying.
Know, Mike Lee. I'm missing some other people from that Kansas team that were just good dudes to this day. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. Russell Robinson from New York took his visit with me that same weekend. He came back Monday and made a commitment to Kansas. Coach Self only had one scholarship left. So my mom calls me. I'm at Tech. I'm in Oakland in fifth period. And she's calling me. She's like, yeah, Russell just committed. What you want to do? They only had one scholarship left. Coach Williams was just in my house maybe a month ago. He's telling me they only got one scholarship left. He had Dwight Howard, J.R. Smith, Sean Livingston, and some more people. And he just told me straight up, he like, you know, I have all these players. First come first, you know, first come first, get that scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So when my mom told me that, I didn't want to put myself in a position where I wind up going to a school that I don't even want to be at.
Facts.
So it was just God, man, like faith, a leap of faith in God. I was just like, I'm gonna just go to Carolina. And my mom's like, you ain't taking a visit. You don't know nobody out there. Like, and I'm like, well, I was about to go to Kansas, maybe. It can't be that much, you know? And I'm 17, I don't know.
Right.
Like, but I'm just thinking North Carolina. Took my visit, liked it. And then when I got there, man, like, of course we won the national championship my freshman year. But I had to learn how to play basketball all over again, man. Like the terminology, style of play, going from starting and you getting all these minutes to now I was backing up Raymond. Sometimes I play, sometimes I wouldn't. Then my sophomore year, Bobby Frazier comes, I get hurt. So I'm dealing with injuries. I'm dealing with all of this stuff that a lot of people didn't even know about. But it was just a blessing, bro, because I gained so much from it. Not only on the court, but off the court. As you know, you play ball, man. The relationships you build, sometimes the people you engage with and the people you connect and touch and the lives you touch, and you don't even know you're touching those lives.
Yeah.
So now, going to school at Carolina from 2004-2008, graduating with a bachelor's degree in African American history, or study, should I say, And being able to look back now in 2021, it's like whenever I want to go to a practice, I can go. If I want to go to a game, I can go. If I just want to check on the coaches or whatever. Coach Williams just retired. I talked to him 2 days after he retired. You know what I'm saying? Like, just the relationships, the Danny Greens, the Marvin Williams, the Wayne Ellingtons, and it just goes on. You know, it just goes on. So I've built a brotherhood. I've built brothers. I've built family. So, man, there's so much I can say about it, bro.
Yeah, that's a lot of love, but that's what the game does for people, sports in general. It should do that for people, man, if you do it the right way, right? And I'm sure that dunk in that game probably didn't it helped the cause a little bit also with Coach being in the game, man. Saw that dunk, he like, yeah, I had to get it. But that consistency with him, you know, probably made it a little bit easier for you to make that move. So when you made that move, though, again, you saw Mom already kind of having little questions. When you get there, though, or actually, let me ask you this. When you left, did you cry or did she cry when you left home?
Man, my mom and my auntie took me to summer school.
Okay, so you got in there a little early.
Yeah, she took me to summer school. I had to leave. I had graduation. I literally had to leave to go because I had two sessions of summer school, and I missed the first one because I was still in school, so I had to get to the second one. So my mom and her sister, my aunt, took me, and I think they did cry, but I don't remember them letting me see it. Right. That was probably the first time I was like, damn, I'm not home. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta stay here. This ain't a vacation. Like, unless I mess up and get kicked out, like, I'm here.
Yep.
And then I had surgery the first week I got out there. I had torn my meniscus in my right knee. And this is my second time doing it. So this is my second surgery. And I had one in high school. Now this, as soon, I'm talking about the first week of summer school. And that was the one time I was homesick because I couldn't play ball. All I could do was go to class and lift.
So let me ask you that right now, since adversity, right? Great, you led me right to adversity. How did you make it through that time, bro? Because again, like you said, we know. I mean, I went to school back down south. I had some family close too, but it's not home, right? How did in that little time, knowing I can't, you know what I mean? Especially when you can't like walk around, get around. Because I had a twisted ankle my first year. I sat out anyway though, but trying to get downstairs. Who helped you? Who kind of helped you get through that, man? Because that you, I know you didn't do it, but I hope you didn't do it on your own. Who was there to help you kind of get past that?
Teammates, man. People that became friends when I got to school, coaching staff. But, you know, my teammates were a big, big, big part, man. And that 05 team, like, everybody was a big brother. But those seniors that year, the Jack Emanuel, Melvin Scott, and Jawal Williams, man, I always commend them because when they were in my position, my freshman year, they didn't even make the NIT tournament. They went 8-20. And they would tell me how people would treat them around school, around campus, wouldn't say nothing to them. Duke blast them, ain't nobody saying nothing to them. And to go from that to winning the national championship, yo, their last year, my first year. But to answer your question, like, besides God, man, and just prayers and family, like, my teammates. My teammates was the biggest part of that. All 4 years, man. Like, I know it's cliche to say, you know, I would never trade my teammates, but I wouldn't, man. Like, on more than a basketball level. Like, those dudes.
Special, man.
Yeah.
That's all you can say, special, bro.
To this day, man. But teammates.
We talked about, you said, you know, thankful God. Just your faith. Where's your faith come from, man? Because, I mean, again, I've been there too. Where you like, man, I need somebody help with something or somebody make something happen. God, if you get me through this, or God, if you can provide me with a meal tonight or something like that. What does your faith come from?
Just growing up, like, my parents instilled, you know, God in me at an early age. My family, you know, so I always had a belief in God. I always had a belief that there was somebody else above me controlling a lot of this stuff and controlling and including the wind that I'm breathing in and out. But that didn't mean that things would be easier.
Fact.
Almost harder at times because it's like, all right, God, like, where you at? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it just showed me how much I had in me, and it showed me also how much he put in me. And I just had to lean on him. He's still showing me today. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's still showing me today, bro. But that I always tell people, my experience at Carolina wasn't just hoop. Like, it showed me how to be a better man. It helped my family. It showed us that we can be able to go places with something that we love to do, a passion that we love to do, and different things of that nature. But it was cool, man. Like, I'm thankful for it. And I'm just thankful for my family instilling that in me at a young age, because even now when I go through tough times, no matter how tough it gets, it's still enough in me to be like, you got this, you'll be all right. That's and, you know, I just always have that in my mind.
That's what's up. So you get through Carolina, man. Grow up as a man, mature, ups and downs. What's okay after the graduation overall, right? I think that's, for me, knowing just black moms and families, like, that's a gift for your mom. How much joy did it bring you to get that degree and walk across that stage, or commencement, whatever it was for you to her?
Man, that's crazy you said that, bro, because I didn't really even care about my diploma. I probably was more excited about my high school diploma than my college diploma, but I knew how much it meant to my mom, my parents, but my mom and my dad's mother, my grandmother, mm-hmm. who's still living right now, 90 years old.
Bless. And
still healthy. Blessing, bro. Thank you. But I knew how important it was to them. So for me to do that and go through what I went through those 4 years on and off the court and be able to show them, like, I achieved this, that was a great feeling.
That's super dope. So after you make that move, then what's next for you, though? What's on your mind after that? What's the next phase? Because, again, you like phases, right? Or quarters, right? You get through four quarters, 4 years. Now, what's next?
I still wanted to pursue basketball. I think I did. I thought I did. I still wanted to pursue basketball. I still love basketball. But I had injuries. But I'm going to tell you a short, crazy story. So Coach Williams was able to get me into the Laker camp with Mitch Kupchak and all of those people. So I was able to get into the Laker camp, trying to do well, trying to make that Laker team for summer team. Mm-hmm. And didn't make the team. My knees messing up, hurting. So, you know, I got let go. Mm. That day, the week before that, my barber in North Carolina, I used to always rap. Like, always rap ever since I was a little kid, but I never wanted to be a rapper. Like, it was just a hobby. I would freestyle, have fun, rap, write all the time. So everybody that really knows me has always known this. From my college teammates, when I was in college, I would rap on the court. I would rap to the Final Four when we got to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Like, all this stuff. You could ask anybody who was around me, they'd be like, yeah, he's telling the truth. So my barber meets this guy, or he's cutting the hair of this guy who knew Ninth Wonder, the producer Ninth Wonder. So my barber's like, man, I got this dude who can rap. He like, who? He like Quentin. No, he like Q. He like Q who? He like Quentin Thomas. He like, you talking about the basketball player? He's like, nah, we ain't gonna do that. We know how that goes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, nah, man, like, he just got raw talent. He like, all right, well, send me his number. I'll link up with him, see what I see. So he comes to my apartment, me and my college teammates' apartment, before the Laker camp. I would go to the studio every now and then. My boy had a setup when we was in college. I would just literally rap in the closet, do a whole bunch of stuff. So I play him some songs. He's floored. He loves them. Hmm. He's like, man, I got to introduce you to Ninth. We got to do this and that. I'm like, whatever. Like, I'm not even paying any attention. Fast forward back to the Laker camp. I get cut. So I'm going back to my hotel, and I'm flying back to North Carolina the next day. As soon as I get to my hotel room, a number texts me. It's Ninth. Mm. And Ninth's like, yo, where you at? This and that, you know? I'm like, I'm in L.A. I'm going to come back tomorrow. He's like, man, when you get settled, come by the studio this week. The studio was at North Carolina Central University. So I go up there. Me and my teammate, Mike Cope, shout out Mike Cope. We go up there, it's a whole bunch of people in the studio. Now, I knew whenever I talked to Ninth and he told me to come to the studio, I'm like, it's going to be a lot of people at the studio because I happen to play ball for Carolina. Mm-hmm. They want to see if I could really rap.
Fact.
So I give him my CD, man, and he listening. It's like six songs on it. He listened to the first song like 10 seconds, go to the next song, shake his head, go to the next song, I don't even think he got to all six. I think he got to like three or four, and then he just stopped it. And he looked at me. He's like, man, what you want to do? Right? Wow. Now, mind you, literally, I just graduated from college a month prior to him asking me what you want to do. I still want to play ball, but I'm dealing with injuries. I don't know. I'm 22. I'm like, man, I don't know. He's like, man, you're more than welcome to just stay around the studio all you want. And it's the summertime. Just graduated. I'm broke. Don't have no job. Well, I got a job on Franklin Street, Chapel Hill. But it wasn't paying anything crazy. Mm-hmm. And it would be days I needed to go to work for the money. I'd tell my supervisor, shout out Holly. She was so cool. Like, Holly, I got to go to the studio. I got to work on this stuff. I got to, you know. And she let me go. And so the whole summer, I was just in there recording. Wound up doing a song on NBA Live 2010. It was the last live at the time with David Banner.
Hey.
What's up? And next thing I know, man, I did it my whole life, mm-hmm. but I was doing it not knowing that I was going to be doing it.
Uh-huh.
It's like a kid that draws his whole life, but he's not trying to be an artist or a painter.
Yep.
And then the next thing you know, he just has a whole bunch of crazy canvases and all of this stuff in museums and stuff. I'm like, man, I didn't even think you wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't either, but it's just me. It's in me.
You've been doing that your whole life and not even knowing. That's the key right there.
My whole life. Right. So that happened, man. And fast forwarded up to now, I've been blessed to go overseas to South Africa, on tour in Europe, on tour in the States. Work with Rhapsody, be on her album, work with Nipsey, rest in peace, Nip.
Yes, sir.
And actually be able to be, actually was in the studio with Nip and got to talk to him, and we did our verses together and a lot of other things, man. But it's just really showed me again, like, the basketball is the preparation for this yep. part.
Facts.
You know, man, like, it was preparation. So I always tell people, you never know how God is using you or what tools he's using mm-hmm. for you or with you, you know, within you. But yeah, that's how I went, man. So I went from me playing basketball one day to the next thing. Now I'm in a studio and I'm putting out albums and I'm touring and doing music stuff, man. But basketball is forever my first passion, but it's basketball opened so many doors.
Right. Yeah.
It opened so many doors.
That's why I definitely try to tell the kids and the players, no matter who they are, just it's a tool to provide, you can provide a living for you or just lifetime experiences, man. And that is super dope. And your newest project you dropped, I again, doing my research, man, I was like, I've been knee deep a couple of days just reading up. I'm like, man, it's so interesting, dope. Give me some information about the new book or the new project you just dropped, man. That's, I think, pretty recent ago.
We just put out the project, A Midsummer's Nightmare. We put that out late last year, me and Ninth, all produced by Ninth Wonder. I love the project. I think it's been getting a lot of positive feedback. And then I wanted to do something special. Growing up when we used to have CDs, mm-hmm. you could open that little booklet and some of those booklets would have lyrics in them.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, man, what if, I was just thinking of recently. I'm like, what if Kendrick did Good Kid, Mad City, or he did Damn? Or what if Jay-Z did Reasonable Doubt back in the day, but he did a book with the lyrics where he's explaining his lyrics in the book?
Cold.
I'm like, I don't know anybody who's ever done that. I know it's been lyrics in books,
yep.
but nobody was really broken them down. I'm like, that's what I want to do.
Sick.
So we just put that out recently. It's been getting a lot of positive feedback. People are loving the book. And then me and Ninth are also working on a new album right now. That'll be out probably sometime this summer.
That's what's up.
Definitely.
Steady working, brother. Steady working. So, as far as I was actually this about as far as the music part goes, and just again, it's just like working on a craft, right? Let's just give me a time frame on to produce. Let's say, five, six, seven song EP or whatever. Mm-hmm. How many days or hours you say with that? Just calculation that may take. Because I know some people get them out fast, but I don't know what the time frame is on that to an extent. But what about for you? How much time does it take for you to get something like that out?
Honestly, man, it usually doesn't take that long. It just depends on what's going on, what your team has going on. But, the way me and Ninth work, honestly, because I went to, so the album that we're putting out this summer, probably in July or August, more than likely, It will be about between 7 and 9 songs. I went to Carolina a month ago, and I was just out there. I meant to go there for 2 weeks, but then after the first week, I'm like, nah, I'm just going to stay out here till we finish.
Right.
And I was out there for a month, and we knocked it out, you know. I think I work pretty fast.
Yeah.
Everybody on my label feels I work fast. But I don't try to rush through things just to say, oh, yeah, man, we did the album. It only took a week. Like, right. Nah, like, I just go off feeling. But it's like playing ball, man. Like, you know, like, you could go in the gym, and if you feel good,
yeah,
you can breeze through that workout. Yeah. If you're feeling good, you in shape, and you prepared for that day, you'll breeze through it.
Facts.
If you was up late,
you're going to struggle.
Mm-hmm. Or if you don't go to the gym all the time, and now your boys want to go get a workout in, and you just want to go because your boy's going, you're going to struggle. You're going to look kind of bad. But I think it's just repetition, bro.
Yep.
It's just repetition. The more you do it, the sometimes the quicker you get, or you just know exactly what you want to say. But I'm my worst critic, so I'm probably on myself the hardest out of everybody. But it doesn't take that long. It just depends on what you're working on or what else is going on around you.
Facts. So before I let you go in a minute real quick, last couple of questions, though. So just from, again, being from where you're from, going through what you've been through, though, and where you're at now, again, and I think one thing about this podcast, I want people just to be able to give their feed on how can we try to inspire the younger generation, man, or somebody else just our age that may be going through it. What would you say? What would you suggest? Or what type of tactics, practices would you try to give them to kind of get to their goal?
It's so much stuff I could say, man, and honestly, the same stuff that I say for the youth, I probably say double for us as adults,
mm-hmm.
because the youth don't know better, we do.
Facts.
But I think we just need to start not only conversing and talking to one another more,
mm-hmm.
but we need to listen more. And I say we need to listen more because, especially with the youth, the other question you just asked, because we're older and we're adults, we feel like we can just tell them what to do. But we have to also understand that they have lives and they see the world how they see the world.
Mm-hmm.
It'll only help both sides if we understand both sides better. Because most of the time as adults, we just want the youth to understand where we're coming from.
Very true.
We don't care where the youth is coming from. Oh, y'all don't know. Like, that's why as adults, I was joking with my mom the other day. I said, man, y'all used to always tell me to be quiet, like, when grown folks talking. But I'm like, but sometimes y'all wasn't talking about nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, but for adults, that's just the easiest way to be like, shut up.
Right.
And, you know, if you was raised like that, you're like, no, I'm not going to disrespect my adult. I'm not talking back.
Right.
But these kids, they have so much more that they're exposed to at a younger age. And we were exposed to a lot, but
yes, with
social media, they have so much. So just talking to one another, man, and listening to one another.
Definitely,
you know,
yeah,
you don't always have to have a debate to prove who's right. Sometimes you can just have a debate to see what perspective you didn't see from at first.
Yeah, you hit it on the head, though, with the being able to receive communication and criticism is super key for our kids and adults just to listen, but also take it in and interpret. You know, you kind of ask questions to interpret it to get down to the root of it, because that first impression isn't always the right one. You know what I mean? As an educator myself, I know, like, in the classroom, that's something big I try to do. All right, let me listen to you. I ain't going to box you off, but let me hear you and then try to help inform you. So real quick, where can people find you at, man? Find your book. Go get it. They want to purchase it. Where can they find, you know, man, plug it right now, man. This is you. Plug it.
Man, you can go to check out the website. My brand is One Day Soon, or ODS acronym, but it's OneDaySoonODS.com. You can check that out. It has all the music, all the updates, the book, everything that's going on. You can also follow me on Twitter or Instagram at TheTownGQ, TheTownGQ. And yeah, man, it's pretty simple. With Tupac say, I ain't really hard to find, but
yeah,
I just be chilling, man. I love working. I love doing what I love to do as far as creating music. I still am tapped in into the basketball world as far as training kids when I can, have the time,
sure.
and doing that, skill development. But yeah, that's easy way to keep up with Q, man.
Man, I really appreciate it, bro. Like I said, you know, I'm definitely going to put it out there, shout it out all the time, post it, retweet it whenever I can, man, because like I said, we linked up now for life, real talk, you know what I mean? So I definitely appreciate you. Actually, I'll be halfway your way this weekend, a little something going on, but man, I'm going to tap in, man. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate
man,
your time.
Good, bro. I want to say thank you just for, you know, considering me to have me on your show. Best of blessings and wishes to you, bro, everything you're doing for this and beyond. And then shout out my big bro, Jason Gaines, for
helping
put this together, man. Like,
JG.
Jay know he always got me. And like you said, bro, anything, any way I can help, just let me know.
Yes, sir, for sure, man. Appreciate you, man. Have a good rest of your day, my dude.
All good, man. You too.
All right, bro. Stay up.